I spent a lot of time this week in the book of Colossians. And you know, there are times that you read through the Bible, and all of you do it, and you do often, but there are times that there are just sometimes a stop sign and say, just stop here. Spend your time here. And I spent a lot of time this week, you know, just going through Colossians, and very short, a book in the Bible, just four chapters, but so meaningful. And when I look at it and I see Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, and he sends it to them not having met them. He's never met them. It's only about 100 miles or so from where he spends most of his time in Ephesus. But he never got the chance to get there. But he sends them a letter saying that he has never forgotten to pray for them. They were always in his prayers. And his prayers are complimentary at first to them. Beautiful. Some of the most beautiful prayers that he has prayed. And some scholars say it's one of the most beautiful prayers when he greets them there in the first chapter. And when I read through that, and I said to myself, how can he be sending this without having even met the people? And his contact, of course, was the person that traveled with him occasionally, but came and bring him the news and bring him the good news, and sometimes bringing the news that's not so good. And I don't know how you pronounce his name. It's Apraphas or Apraphas or whatever, but something like that. Call it what you want to. But that servant of his, whom he won to the Lord, has traveled to and fro to bring him the news and the update. And when you read through that, it gives you an impression that this church in that town or city, it's not a big place, was actually regarded as a place of the heathen. It was not a place where there was a lot of Christians all over. It was a heathen population almost. And it's not one of the best. But he prays for them and makes time for them. But one of the things that I want to start on is the mere fact that this person that he says is his fellow servant in the Lord, his friend, that has traveled to him, and the last time traveling to visit him in prison in Rome. And this is the person that is perceived to be his mentee, the one that he won to the Lord and the one that he mentored. And without having met the people in Colossians church, don't know them, he was so close to them because it was his spiritual son that is there and winning people to the Lord, a growing church, a church on fire for God. And for a moment when I read it, I just felt how Paul can have indirect access to a place without even being there. You and I would know the feeling, many of you have been in the field, some for years, that you have won somebody to the Lord and you never thought how far that person will take the gospel. I mean, I come to places and I meet pastors and they say, oh, thank you so much. It was at one of your meetings that I accepted the Lord. And yeah, he's now pastoring a big church. My, you feel so good. You had nothing to do with that church. But the fact that you have won somebody to the Lord, that person goes and does the work. It is for that reason that none of us should feel inadequate. None of us should feel out of place when it comes to winning somebody for Jesus. Even if you, before you go to heaven, just have one single soul that you have won for Jesus, you will never know, except in heaven, where that person or people will go and take that gospel. All we need to do is just dispatch it into somebody's heart and spirit. And right now, as I'm speaking, you're probably thinking of somebody that you have led to the Lord and where they are now. And we just thank God for that. So I am not surprised that Paul will speak so highly of this church as if he knows them, saying such beautiful words. Yes, some he's heard from Epaphras, but he has also had inwardly that feeling, that knowledge that they knitted into the same family, and the Holy Spirit that he knows is also there. So when we look at this happening, that he's coming to visit Paul again, and he's bringing a message to Paul and saying, there are some concerns. It's a wonderful church. It's going well. Thank God there is growth, but there are some concerns because there are some things that have crept in to the church from outside. And we all have experiences of that. And that is why I want to, in short, speak to you today about the sufficiency of Christ and say to you that Christ is enough. No add-ons is needed. He is enough. The fullness is in him. Over and over the Bible speaks. And it seems as if in this place, Colossae, where they were, the Bible speaks to us in those passages that the heresy of powers and demons and spirits has begun to operate, and it creeps into the church. He speaks about the observance of special days and rituals and festivals and moons and all kinds of things that have crept in outside and crept into the church. He speaks about patterns of touch not, taste not, handle not, the do's, the don'ts, and all of the laws and everything that comes up and all of the rules that are added. And I say again, Christ needs no add-ons. We have it all in him. It speaks about the worship of angels that have crept in all over. And then we must say, Lord, help us, because it's no different in our world today. You get into churches and you find there, oh my, here's some change, here's some add-ons here, as if Christ is not enough. And I believe he is sufficient. He is enough for all of us, and we should remain there and build on that. Paul first encourages, and then he begins to correct them and bring a corrective message in telling them that what they have in Christ does not need add-ons. Does not need add-ons. One of the old songs that were sung, and there are some more that you find that says something. Remember the old song that said, I am satisfied with Jesus? I'm satisfied with him. He's enough. You remember the song, In Christ Alone? You remember the song, He's All I Need? All of those we have sung and confessed that he is enough. And let me say, if we sang it years ago, I began to sing some of these songs 63 years ago. But it is so relevant because Christ is still enough. He doesn't need another department added to his department. He's complete. I'm not saying that we're not changing things in church and such, and things go on and things improve. And yes, I mean, some of you are younger, you were 20 years ago. Some of you look more beautiful and handsome guys than years before. That can change, but never the content of the gospel. It is the same gospel that we have preached 63 years ago, and it's the same gospel today, and no add-ons is needed. But we will find ourselves, wherever we may be in the world, that people are seeking to just add something to him, you know, as if he is not enough. Or maybe I'll polish him up a little bit because Christ is outdated. He was yesterday, he's today, and he's forever. And he's forever the same. And we don't need to patch him up because he's run out. He's complete. He's all. He's everything. He's yesterday, he's today, he's tomorrow, he's forever the same. And we, as his children, has got to accept that what he has done for us in yesteryear, he can they do today. The crucial message here is Christ alone is enough. Christ's supremacy is sufficient. Looking at all these heresies which challenges the church in Colossae, we cannot but ask, what's new? Are these not also the heresies of our day? If yes, then we should look at Paul's remedy for this. With heresy standing at the Colossian church doorstep, Paul was concerned that these Christians would be drawn away by persuasive words. But what was true in Paul's day is still true today. And we got to know and keep on believing that the best defense is a strong offense to keep this gospel going, that it is all that we need. In Colossians 2, verse 2 to 7, the picture is painted there of Paul's prayer for the church. And in it we can distinguish the great marks which should distinguish the living of a faithful church. Firstly, we learn there that it should be a church with courageous hearts. This is not a time for cold feet. This is not a time for us to feel that we are overpowered. No matter how dark, how matter what is happening, and we are in a disturbing world. Our television scares us because of what we see every single day. But I am also here to encourage you and say, he is alive and well. Christ is alive and well, and he is enough. We don't need an additional remedy. All we need is to be deeper in him, closer to him, more of Jesus than anything else. We'll make it. I promise you, we'll make it. The road that he takes us may not be designed by us, but he'll take us. He'll take us. I like the words that Pastor John uses. He uses me in a car a few times. He says, it's not that Christ will keep us away from trouble. He'll just take us through trouble. And you know what the blessing is? That when you go through trouble, you come out just better, stronger on the other side. I think every time the devil throws a rock in my way, he regrets it afterwards. Because I come out on the other side, as I said, better. Because you're not going down with the problem. You're not being rolled over by the stone that he throws in your way. No, you're going through. I think it was last year that I preached about getting through what you're going through. Was it here that I preached that? I think so, yeah. That we are getting through and we will get through what we're going through. And we just trust God that he helps us and keeps us. And I think I said it last year that if he did not want you and I here for this particular season, maybe a troubled season, he wouldn't have you here. But he purposely have you here. And if he decides to have you around at this time, that means he trusts you with this time. That is a confidence that God trusts you and me with this generation. Because he would get rid of us and put in somebody that's better than us. But no, he trusts us to be around at this time. And maybe a time that we don't particularly like. But Jesus likes us in this time. So that we in our prayers and in our defenses go forward to defend this gospel that needs nothing more than the content that it is. And that we do not seek to add anything to it. Because it's the fullness. We need to be people of a courageous heart. We should be, as church, knitted together in love. That's what he's showing them through there. The more the world gets troublesome, the closer we get to one another. I love this church. It's never been a mega church of 3,000-5,000, but it's been a family church where we're strong for one another, where we go forward together, where we pray and know one another, and where we win, and if we lose something, we lose it together, but we win together. We got to go strong, as he recommends to the church in Colossae, to be knitted together. And then thirdly, he says you should be a church equipped for every kind of wisdom. something that he spells out to them often. And then he comes through the recommendations. In Colossians 2, from 6 to 7, he speaks about, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Ah, hallelujah. So walk in him. The Message says now, live in him. The Amplified Bible says, regulate yourself and conduct yourself in the service of him. William Barclay says, live your life in him. That walk, to live with him, to walk in him. It's good advice, not only for the church in Colossae, but also for the church in our world today. To keep on working in Christ, walking with Christ, and stay in that walk. Watch the signposts. Make sure that you don't take one that you shouldn't be taking off the main road. Stay on that road. Walk with him. Now, everybody here that knows me well, you know that I have just about trampled every piece of road here in Seattle over the years. I walk mornings, I walk evenings. I love my walking. It's where I get the closest to the Lord, is my walking. The exercise is a blessing. It's an add-on. But the biggest gift is walking there in the mornings and walking and talking with him. Because I imagine myself walking with him just next door to me. I'm not sure if he's always on the left or on the right-hand side, but he's there. He's there walking with him. And we got to walk in him. When we talk about walking in him, it means we're walking in that Christ that is everything. And if we walk in him, you have automatically everything that you literally need. Because walking in him means that you are in that which is sufficient, and you'll have what you need. Walk in him. But not only walk in him, does he says, be rooted in him. And boy, is that needed these days, to be rooted in him. The Message Bible says, be deeply rooted in him. The Amplified says, have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted, fixed and founded in him. You can't express it more than that. Deeply rooted. I think our time and the season for which we are called cannot operate with people that are loosely casualing along. And not rooted, but sort of being there occasionally and being there or not being there. Sometimes you feel that you get Christians that are one day a Christian and you get them in 3 weeks or 3 months later, you're not even sure if it's still there. I think the time that we live in now, just as they were challenged, we are challenged and got to stand for what we believe because we are rooted. And if you're not rooted, you will be moved. But if you're rooted, you're not easily moved. Remember, Pastor John Branson, how you sang, I will not be moved. Another one of your old songs. When I get to your age, I'll probably sing that too. It's going to get me. It's got me for everything already so far. Hallelujah. No. I was at a golf course with him today, this week, and I was embarrassed walking with this man. I was the caddy, you know. But what a joy to be with people that are walking and that are solid, rooted in. I think we have too many casual Christians in our world today. Too many casual along for the walk. It's grandma's church. My husband is there. My wife is there. I'm just casually there. There's no time for that anymore. Being here today, placed here by God for this season, is serious business, which cannot be taken lightly or loosely, but to be rooted in him, deeply rooted in him. The Authorized Version describes is as rooted into deep soil, so that you can draw from that soil the sap, the energy to be able to walk this walk and not only talk the talk. We have many talkers, we have too few walkers that say, come after me. This is the road that I have walked. Because some of our leaders, even their walks, are not something that they would want to recommend to somebody else. And then he goes on and he says, not only to be rooted, not only to walk in him, but also to be built up
in him.
That almost says to me, there must be a sense of being dissatisfied where I am today because I want to be further. I want to be stronger. Because I must be daily built up, because the challenge of yesterday is not the same as today. So I must be built up all the time to meet the challenge of today. I remember when I came to the Lord those years back, it was almost an easy thing to live as a Christian. I mean, it was, you almost had very, very little, if any, obstacles. You had a few here and there, nothing like today. But if I had to stay like I was 63 years ago, I wouldn't be able to do anything in this dispensation. That's why it's needed that we need to be built up single. Every step that we take must be upward so that we meet the challenge of the day that we live in. And it's not like last week, last month, last year. It's new challenges. It's a new world. To some of us, we don't know. We haven't seen it like this before. We cannot simply walk as we were yesteryear. We need to be deeper. We need to be stronger. We need to be built up as we go forward. To be built up in Him. Like a house stands fast because it is built strong on foundations. The message says, you're well constructed. We got to be built up and get stronger as we go forward. And then it goes forward and it says, you got to be established in the faith. The time that we are in, I said, doesn't need any casual hands. It needs full-time people. I don't mean you all give up your job and be full-time in ministry, but we got to be full-time Christians. We cannot do the job with casual hands. We need full-time people who are full-time in the work because they are established in the faith more and more as they go forward to be established in the faith, to grow stronger, not to be at the place you were last year, but go. You must be a year ahead. Don't let the years go by and you look back and you say, my, have I improved? Am I stronger? Am I more solid? Am I deeper in Him? Have I learned from Him? We need to make sure that every single day of our lives count. Every prayer moment, every church meeting, every single moment to be stronger because the challenges grows by the day. And we become outdated if we are not growing stronger and established in the faith. The Message Bible says, you know your way around the faith. It's another way of saying it. Get to be in faith that you know your way around faith. You've seen it work. You're not getting casual about it, but you know. You're getting familiar with it. You get to know it. It works. And the more you see it work in you and through you, the more you want of it. And then he goes on. And then he says, you must abound in it with thanksgiving. Abound in it with thanksgiving. The Amplified has a long one for it. He says, we must be overflowing in it with thanksgiving. And I like the Authorized Version that says, distinguishing mark of a true church is the abounding faith that overflows with gratitude. Faith that overflows with gratitude. God grant us grace that we move strongly forward, that we accept that no add-ons is needed. All that we need is in Jesus. We don't need more tricks. We don't need some things. I tell you, if you come with me some places in Africa, wow. I mean, we now have in South Africa where the government had to step in and say, put a church committee there and says, listen, just have a look at some of these things that the pastors are doing. And the one pastor has sent his congregation out in the field to eat grass. And he says, just see how strong you go through the grass. And another one has proved his faith by asking two members to lie on the ground. And then he drove his car over them, put a plank over there, and then drove over there and say they'll come out untouched. I'm saying, listen, the gospel we have is enough. It's enough. We don't need new antics and new tricks to trick people into the gospel and into the kingdom. What Christ has given us is more than enough. It was a shame on the church when they put, and you know the newspapers like to put us on the front page. And you see the car there over the two people there. And that now is saying how strong faith person he is, that he can drive a car over there. We don't need gimmicks. We don't need add-ons. He is sufficient. There is enough that we need in Christ, and we don't need anything more. He is all that I need. Jesus is all that we need. And in him we have all things pertaining to what we need. I want to wish you strength. I want to wish you well. I want to wish you to go forward in Christ and be strong in him. He's all that you really need. Romans 16 verse 18 says, for those who are such do not serve, referring to the tricks, do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their belly and by the smooth words and flattering speeches deceive the hearts of simple people. We don't need that. It's not needed. Ephesians 4 verse 14 says, we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Add-ons, different kinds of gimmicks. Christ is sufficient. All we need is in him. Ephesians 5 verse 6 says, let no one deceive you with empty words, because these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of the disobedient. You know, I told you 2 weeks ago when I was preaching here, and I told you when I was speaking about word, the power of words, and I told you the story of the six sweetest words and strongest words that I have ever heard. You still remember it? Did you say it to one another yet during the week? No, you haven't. Those words that I heard, you know. Did you say it to her? Good for you. Good for you. Keep it up. Oh, she said it to you. Oh, good, good, good. Good. Is that your apologies for not saying it to her? Okay, yeah. But it is so that we got to build one another up with strong words. And as a church, prepare ourselves for the battle before us. We are called for this time. But my word of encouragement to you is, nothing is beyond Christ in whom we trust. Because he brought us here to here. He'll take us through. And we'll come out on the other side stronger, better, that he will even regret what he has put before us. Look for stronger blocks to put before us. But we will never be stopped. We will go through, because we're going to get through what we're going through. God bless you, and I love you.